Sebastian Stan. Also played Jeff Galluli.
Yes, he did. That's really awesome. What we're psyched about.
It's awesome.
We're actually very psyched about
that. Sebastian Stan.
Hello. Hi, how are you?
Welcome.
Good,
we're on the air, man. Hey. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you.
Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure.
You know what's amazing? We were talking about you yesterday and how you were coming in.
Oh, God.
And I knew you as Bucky, but I also knew you as Jeff Galluli. And
I didn't
put two and two together until that moment that you were the same person, which I think is a great compliment, right?
No, for sure. I mean, Josh Brolin said the same thing to me, and we you know, we'd been doing some interviews together for the film, and finally, like, I guess he figured that out and sent me like a nice email about. Of course, it's the best compliment.
Oh, that's great. That's, he's hanging out with you, and he's like, "Oh my God,
it was you."
Yeah.
So when you're playing Galluli, do you want to meet? Are you the guy who wants to meet someone first?
I think you have to in some weird way. I mean, like, you know, regardless what you hear of the people, you know, who you're meeting. I mean, and certainly there was also. Because there was all I could find online was just, unfortunately, a very kind of dark description, you know, of this guy. And I just, in the movie, we needed to see him in various different ways. And so, yeah, it was like, if you don't, then it's weird.
So how you contacted him, and what did you say? Look, I'm playing you and I would like to.
Well, he had been really in touch with the writer. I mean, he, you know, like the writer basically, Steven Rogers, went and interviewed Tanya and then Jeff separately and got like 3 hours worth of, you know, of information out of both of them, and then wrote the script with their consent. So he had been in touch with Jeff, and then they said, "Do you want to meet him?" And I said, "Sure." You know, I went to Portland, Oregon. I went to where they're from, and I went everywhere around, and then I finally tracked him down, and we got dinner, and then I just tried to, you know, get as much info as I could.
Was he what you expected, or were you like, oh, okay, this is not the guy I thought he was?
No, I mean, I tried really hard not to walk in there with expectations. I mean, it's hard to do that, especially when you're researching somebody. But yeah, I mean, in some ways it was interesting because everybody has a story, you know.
We
all have a story of what happened, and sometimes, like, that's your story, or, you know, so he has his. And, you know, I think for me, it was much more just being curious with, like, who he was growing up, like, what the origin, how they met, you know, what it was like at the beginning. I mean, I knew all about the craziness, but, you know, it was more about what are his mannerisms. I mean, I couldn't find a picture of the guy smiling, you know, even just that was wanting to just kind of like get an idea for.
No smiling. He must listen to this show.
I know. I'm sure he.
When you're sitting down, though, like with somebody, and you're the actor that's going to play them, you know that they're going to put their best face forward. You know that they're going to wear what you want them. Like, they are going to, if they're smart, show you
well,
the person that they want to be on screen.
Listen, I mean, I agree.
Like, you need a pretty serious bullshit detector.
I think I would agree with you. Like, that would be the sort of approach, I would assume. But you know, the first thing he said to me was, like, listen, like, why would they ever want to make a movie about this? About what happened, because it shouldn't be celebrated. It shouldn't, you know, it's like, I don't want to, you know, like, we shouldn't have attention brought to it. And I said, look, I mean, you know, I'm not the writer, but you spoke to the writer and he wrote a pretty great script. And it's also about her, really.
Yeah.
It's her life story and getting a different point of view of her and what happened, that, you know, she didn't get a chance so much when it happened. And, you know, he was very supportive of that. So,
Are they friends at all, or no?
You could say that could have been a certain kind of manipulation. Maybe.
Maybe.
Are they still in touch or no?
I don't believe so.
I said in real life. We're all sort of being actors.
In real life.
Stupid question.
In the movie, do you think that they're still friends?
Yeah, but I'm wondering, did they ever reconnect? I mean, they do have this bond.
But I guess as an actor, you have this benefit of you don't have to have those answers, right? Like, you don't have to say whether this guy is a good guy or a bad guy. You have to just portray him as he would perceive himself, not the way you perceive him, right? Does
no,
that make
I
sense?
Agree. I agree. I mean, yeah. You have to get, well, you always have sort of an objective point of view of it, but you also have to kind of leave the judgments at the door. You're right. Like, to some extent you have to, or else you're never going to be able to get anywhere believably, you know,
right.
Like, you just won't be believable, especially if you have a radar of self-criticism, which is what I do. Mm-hmm. Then I feel like if I'm bullshitting, I'm bullshitting. But you know, I didn't have it, there's it's not my choice. Like everything you saw in the movie was in the script, you know, the way like all the funny business and then all the hard stuff and also you know, moments where it showed like they did have a connection. So I just have to follow that as it's like a GPS for me basically.
Is getting involved with the Marvel Universe at this point, is it like the greatest gig in Hollywood? Because it just seems like every time we talk to actors, they talk about how like the benefit of being on a series, for example, is consistency. You get this.
Well, I 100% would say I probably, you know, I'm not sure if I would have gotten iTanya had it not been for Marvel. In one way or another. You know, I mean, you know, my life certainly has changed since the first movie I was in, it was in 2010, and I always give credit to that because I think in terms of exposure, in terms of what it taught me about kind of, you know, what I want, the relationships, the directors, like it influenced everything on a huge scale. So yeah, absolutely. You're always feeling very that it's a privilege in a way, and especially because you know that there's so much care from the top down about the final product, you know, what you're getting, you know, and I think everybody pays attention to what fans want, what they respond to, what they don't, you know, like they're always, I mean, look, they've consistently made great movies one after the other, you know, and if you could argue, and you know, people try, that you know there's fatigue or you've seen this thing or whatever, but they're always making a new take on it. They're always kind of keeping you entertained in a different way or giving you a different sort of outlook. So, and they're doing it tonally in different ways with different stories. So, it's kind of, you know, epic and really difficult.
Yeah,
you really have a 9-picture deal.
I signed something about 10 years ago, but that doesn't really mean much.
Because I'm saying, what is the moment when your agent comes and goes, all right, they want you for 9?
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
Yeah, here's what... It's like one thing...
You usually don't hear that.
You know, yeah, actors want to get one blockbuster, right? Like, yeah. I want one summer blockbuster. Like, okay, we have 9 blockbusters for you to
listen,
start.
Listen, I mean, here's the thing. You know, at the end of the day, those things, you know, like words or whatever, that don't mean that much because the truth is... I feel like the journey has always been fly by the seat of your pants. You know, it's like there's always a hope. There's always a goal, you know, in the sense of like, yeah, listen, like we would love to do this one day. You know, like that's how it was always presented to me. You know, when I was 2010. I mean, that was, I don't even know. I was like, what, 25, 26? I can't even remember. But anyway, like, and I'm sitting there going like, well, this all sounds fantastic. But again, so much has to go right in order for all that to come to fruition. I mean, like, at any point in time, like, the whole deal could just...
Oh, because they might not make any more. They might... Okay.
One of those movies, like Bombs or something. They're like, let's rethink.
I don't think it's that so much as I would say, like, early on when that was a discussion about the future, like, everybody was hopeful that people would respond in the way that they have, but no one was banking on it. I mean, you know, it's...
Do you have conversations in terms of storyline about, like... And I'm not asking for spoilers, obviously, but, like... Right. Do they go like, okay, here's the vision for this film. Here's the long-term vision of where the pieces fit together. Like, do you have some kind of idea in your head of what Disney and Marvel think?
I think we hear much more the vision of the film than the long-term vision.
Gotcha.
Yeah. It's always much more about the vision of the film than anything else. I mean, you know, like, I've always looked at the comic books and tried to filter in certain aspects of my character and from what I've learned there in terms of, so that one day, maybe when you do look back, you start to go, oh, you know what? Like, it's interesting. Like, I just picked something up that, like, he was doing early on. Like, I feel like that would be cool to do. But, again, it is a lot of on a need-to-know basis.
Right. And you auditioned.
Which is smart.
You auditioned for Captain America?
I did because they weren't having auditions for Bucky Barnes at the time. All they were trying to do is just cast Captain America and then go forward. And I just happened to, so they were only seeing people for that, and I happened to go in for that. And then they were like, oh, you know what? Maybe he could be right for that role. We didn't think about that.
How'd the audition go? Like, did it go good where you're like, I think I got this? Or you're like, oh, there's no fucking way.
No, it was going well. And the reason I say that is because I'd gone in, I think, a few times. Like, I went in one time in L.A., then I got a movie in Germany, and then I left. And then I made another tape from there, and I sent a tape in. They liked that. They had me do it another way. Then I had to fly to L.A. and I went in again and I auditioned again. And then they wanted to screen test me. So I kind of auditioned for Captain America at least probably four times before I even got to that point. So, you know, you're going back in again and again. You're like, oh, like maybe this
gonna happen.
Could work.
I guess that's they have to be that kind of careful about who they cast, because the idea is we're going to do like 10 movies, hopefully if everything goes according to plan. And we don't want to be switching characters.
No, I know. But the whole time I was getting, you know, it was exciting. But I kept saying to myself, I'm like, but I was born in Romania. Does that matter? I mean, I'm just saying.
You said they wanted you to do it another way. You said they had you do it a different way. What did they ask you to switch?
Well, they were. First of all, I didn't grow up with the comic books, so I had no preconceived idea. I had no knowledge of what was going on. I mean, I'd heard Captain America, but I didn't know about the guy, what the story was. So I was going purely based on a scene that they were giving me, and they were giving me direction to go, look, why don't you try it a little bit more this way? You know, here's a little bit background. Like, so they were educating me about the character as we were going.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it's hard to play like an iconic character if you've only looking at a scene and you've never read the stuff or seen anything on him.
So we just didn't have him in Romania.
I believe in the comic book, your character Bucky eventually becomes the new Captain America. Mm-hmm. Are you hoping that, like, that sounds like a good narrative to me? We should go in that direction.
I mean, look, of course, you know, I would certainly, like, you know, jump on and go for it if that was the decision that was made, which is certainly not my decision,
right?
You know, I mean, I've enjoyed every aspect of the character so far that's been decided for him, and it's been a lot of fun. I mean, I think also it would be a very different take on that character. I mean, that's how it is in the comic books.
Of course, it becomes
a whole more darker, sort of more, you know, like the motivations behind Bucky being Captain America and all that are very, you know, very specific, and they're just different. But so, it, you know, it's so much more complex than just asking someone, like, do you want to do it? It's more like, hey, does this make sense from what we've seen so far, character-wise, where these people are right now in their lives in the MCU and going forward?
Because Chris Evans said he doesn't want to come back after the next one. I think 2019, after that, he said he's done.
But there was, we're promoting Infinity War, which is on digital and Blu-ray, August 14th.
But if he doesn't come back, is he really not going to come back, or is it just a contract negotiation?
There was an incident in Infinity War.
There was an incident.
You know, I don't want to.
An Infinity War.
Yeah, that could lead. Well, you know, you should see the film.
You should see the film.
Yeah.
To understand nothing. Yeah, listen, I mean...
Did I just blow something by saying that? No.
I mean, that's public. Okay, that's public information.
But, you know, at the same time, what you just said really doesn't mean a whole lot.
Then you can say that after anything I've ever said.
I wouldn't say that. But, like, you know.
Yeah, I guess... Like, I could say
I'm done doing this play. Does it mean that I'm never going to be in a play again?
Well, that's obviously... Yeah, maybe it's a contract thing, and maybe he just wants them to think
You never know. I mean, like...
And I guess it goes back to that question about, like, oh, there's a 9-picture deal here, and you're like, yeah, it says that on a piece of paper, but... It's still, we're going to see what happens. Now, I've always wondered about the Marvel Universe, because you've been in a couple of the end credit scenes. When you just pop up in the end credit scene, does that count as, like, okay, that's another movie I was in?
Honestly, that's a good question.
Do you count it for yourself as, like, yeah, that counts as me being in that movie?
I don't know if I've thought about it enough, to be honest, to think that. I think that would be a cameo. I don't know. I mean, I would say that would be a cameo. I don't know. I mean, I was in two.
Right.
No, I was in three. Huh. One of the after credit scenes was actually a scene from another upcoming movie. So, you know.
Right. So does that count as that movie or the other movie or both movies? Or
these are things that I don't really waste time thinking about.
Right. Well, do you tell people, yeah, I was in that movie? Like, if there's a movie and you're only in the end credit, will you tell people, like, yeah, I was in that movie?
No, I can't quite own it like it's my movie. I can't, you know, like, I mean, I think, you know, like, my mom went to see Black Panther and she came back and called me and was like, I thought you were in the film. And I said, Mom.
Oh, no.
You have to wait until the end. And she
Why wait until the end?
She's like, no, I left. And so, yeah,
a lot of people don't think to sit through the credits.
No.
I think now, Marvel, it's a given.
Every Marvel movie, you're supposed to sit through the credits.
Was the motive to do that just that people got tired of working on a film and no one sits through the credits? And they're like, just do something at the end to get people to sit through the credits?
I don't know, but, you know, I think it's kind of great in a way because, you know, you have, like, these little mini desserts, you know, like, after the whole thing you're going back to. I mean,
I think part of it is, this is my theory, and maybe more in the beginning than now. I think originally the idea was that there would be people that would go back to see it a second time because their friends would be like, did you see the end credits scene? And you're like, what? What? There was a scene after the credits, and the real hardcore fans, if they walked out, would absolutely, because I knew people that would go back and see the movie a second time.
Because of that.
Because they wanted to see the end credits scene.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I think, listen, it's also another great way of just putting in more material, you know,
besides
2.5 hours.
Yeah, because it's like, yeah, there's a little more, so stick around. Although, it's amazing watching these things, because 2.5 hours, like, it's originally, if you said 2.5 hour superhero movie, you'd be like, what the hell? But they fly by.
But that was, yeah, well, this one in particular I thought, you know, I was like, oh, my God, like, I don't know how they're going to do it. I really don't because there's just so many people and there's so many things going on at the same time. But you're watching it and there's and you know, there's so much happening. It's almost like every scene has its own impact in its own way. And then by the end, you're actually, you know, you've forgotten that you've been there for a minute.
You know, so, Jim Norton is also a comic book movie actor. I don't know if you know that about you.
It's not important. I was in the original Spider-Man, but
it was a pretty significant part.
But like I think there's some credit that needs to be given to those movies. I really do. Like, and Tobey Maguire, because you got to remember, like, that sort of kind of star, like,
rejuvenated.
Wasn't that the first sort of that was before the Batmans, right? The
Michael Keaton one, right?
But, yeah. but I feel like that was a different.
Yeah, the Joel Schumacher, like the end of that series of Batman movies, kind of killed superhero movies for a little while.
Yeah,
and then I kind of in my mind's eye, the Spider-Man movies brought back
they did
superhero
that
movies.
Was I always remember that, you know, like when you and now I feel like I even remember because. You did when I walked in. I was like, I know I've seen you before.
But probably not in that, but yeah, you've probably seen me other.
Well, what did you do in?
I've seen you. I know I've seen you.
Yeah.
Many times.
Maybe if you do the line.
No, I can't. I can't. My work is my work.
Oh, my God. That's great.
No, you're right.
It has
to
live.
It is my work.
You're right.
It has to live.
You're right.
Do you do theater?
Yes. Yeah. No, I have. I've done it twice. I did it, 2007 and 2013.
I was just looking at Orlando Bloom had a thing where he was yelling at a woman for her iPad. I think someone said she was just using it as a fan. But it's amazing how many people
that's
are.
A terrible.
It is an awful fan, but there was someone behind her who took a photo. So it looked like she was on her iPad, but she was just using
it. Listen, attention deficit, is happening. I mean, you know, disorder, that's obviously what it is. But like, I mean, it's just I think people are having a hard time. Like, it's hard for people to go and sit there for 2 hours without looking at their phones. And that's in itself like terrifying. But I feel that, look, if you're, you know, as long if I was him, I get it. I mean, you know, don't break character, maybe stay in the thing.
But have the character yell at the person.
Yeah,
in the
why
audience.
Not?
Yeah,
yeah,
I like
keep
that.
It, you know, keeping it in the world. But you have to. I believe there was one time where don't you remember you hearing about when Hugh Jackman and Daniel Craig did this two-hander, and it was like about two cops or whatever, and they stopped. And somebody's phone was going off, and I think Hugh Jackman, in character, was like, we're going to sit here, and we're going to wait until that phone gets answered, and then we're going to continue, you know? And it's like...
But in character.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
In full character.
That's embarrassing for the person, but it's like, turn your phone off, asshole. They tell you before it starts.
And it keeps you interested in a play if they're in character. Like, you don't have to leave...
Well, I mean, I think that's the fun thing about theater sometimes, that you're not always safe, you know, as an audience member. I mean, you're that close, like, anything can kind of sort of happen.
Yeah.
And it should feel like that. You're in there.
Yeah, Stanley Kowalski just told me to turn off my iPhone.
Are you method at all? Like, when you fall into Jeff Galooly? Are you? Do you stay?
Yes. Do you extend your genitals?
God. Dear God.
Do you stay Galooly?
No, man. I mean, listen. I think you know. You. Everything is. It's always different. You know. I'm always one of those people that I just sort of feel like, you know, whatever works for you, you know, like just as long as it gets you to be able to show up to work and be on time and do your job as truthfully as you can, I don't discriminate, you know.
Right.
And there's never really like a textbook for it. I mean, there's movies sometimes where it's just, you know, like if there is a hard scene to do, like maybe it's not that great to talk to everybody on set that day. Maybe it's a little bit easier to sort of keep to yourself and, you know, or, but there's other times where you want to be talking to people because you want to kind of like keep yourself, actually that is saving your energy in a way,
right.
You know, and so it just varies, I think.
Yeah. Well,
the
mustache in that movie was real, right?
Phenomenal.
The mustache was real.
So
and
you
there
get to walk
times when it wasn't. Because we were shooting, we only had 30 days to shoot, and you know, we were going back and forth between the ages, and it had to match with her different hairstyles.
Right.
So some of it was not.
But you got to walk around at least for a period of time with a Jeff Galooly haircut and mustache. That's
well,
pretty dope.
Well, the nose sideburns were real, real issue for a while. I mean, that was just that, and then also the mustache and nose sideburns, like nice super cuts. Cut,
right,
you know, was
right.
Just terrifying.
I need a one on the sides and a four up top.
You know,
yeah.
But it's like weird. Listen, I mean, go walk through Brooklyn, you'll see scarier things.
You certainly will.
You
that's
know,
right.
It's like, I don't know.
Well, the Avengers Infinity War, it's out, available today on digital.
This
and on Blu-ray on August 14th. And I love it because if you look at my digital movie collection now, I saw it this morning. The first movie, if you do it by release date, the first movie is Avengers Infinity War. And then directly under it, in the rows, I, Tanya.
Oh, that's great.
Right there. I've
Thank
got the whole
man.
Collection.
I always get them mixed
yeah,
up.
There it is.
And it's, I'm Sebastian Stan on Instagram. Thanks, man. It was good talking to you.
Oh, thank you, guys. Appreciate
Check out
it.
Infinity War. We'll be right back.
Roger Stone.
More Jim Norton and Sam Roberts after this.